May it please the Court, my name is Vincent Hedrick, and I, together with Beverly L. Bove, represent the appellants, the Hendersons, in this case. The primary issue on appeal is whether or not the court below committed an error of law in granting defendant Yourcar Express's motion for summary judgment, finding that Yourcar owed no duty to the Hendersons. By way of brief background, Your Honors, on January 16, 2006, the renter of the vehicle, defendant Childs, had rented a car from a Virginia rental car company who is the defendant Yourcar Express. She was on her way to Philadelphia to spend some time with her family, and in fact she had rented the vehicle for several days, and the rental agreement provides that she can travel up to 200 miles per day. And both Ms. Childs testified that she told the rental car company that she was traveling to Philadelphia, and the rental car agent that rented the car indicated that he knew that the vehicle was going out of state. The records indicate, and there's no dispute, that Ms. Childs' license was suspended at the time that she rented this vehicle. The parties had the opportunity to take the deposition of the director of the data management services for the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles, Teresa Gagno, who was a fact witness. And she testified that at the time of the
nature of the suspension, it was for a failure to pay a speeding ticket fine and what else? Not having insurance?
Well, her license had been suspended more than one time. The most recent time prior to the motor vehicle accident was about a month and a half prior. She ran a traffic light. She had no insurance, and her car was impounded, which is the reason why she rented the car.
What does the record show as to whether or not the rental agency would have rented the car to Ms. Child had it known that her license was suspended?
It would not have rented the car to Ms. Childs.
And that's established where?
That's in the testimony of the principal of Yourcar, whose deposition testimony is attached in our exhibits, as well as the agent.
Okay.
And the law is something to the effect that the rental agency is looking for someone with a valid driver's license.
Correct, Your Honor.
So here, under the facts of this case, at least on the face of the license that was handed to the people in Virginia, it appeared to be a valid driver's license.
That's correct, Your Honor, and we don't dispute that.
So tell me where you're going with your recitation of the facts where you bring in her prior record, because as I read your brief, one of your contentions is they had some affirmative duty to find out if her license was valid, but when you bring in her prior record, you seem to be suggesting even if they found out her license was valid, they should get her motor vehicle history. And if they found out she had a history of several moving violations or accidents, even if she had a valid license, maybe they shouldn't rent to her anyway. Are you saying that, or are you just saying this by way of background?
Both, Your Honor. I think it's important to recognize that, and what I tried to highlight in our brief was, in terms of choice of law, is that the law of Delaware applies. The tort of negligent entrustment in terms of what the factors are apply here. In terms of establishing what was the standard, what was available to the rental car company in Virginia, you have to look to Virginia to see what applied to this rental car agency.
That's slicing it and dicing it in a very subtle way, isn't it?
It is, Your Honor, but I think
I'm not sure what we're talking about here. This is a negligent entrustment claim?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Would it matter if the entire claim were governed by Virginia law as distinguished from Delaware law?
It would in terms of what the case law provides.
In other words, under Virginia law, you lose?
No, Your Honor. I don't believe that's the case.
Then does it matter whose law applies?
Well, it does, Your Honor, because I think that both in the case that we've cited, in Berger versus Millstone, there was a motor vehicle accident.
No, don't tell me about prior case. Just tell me why it matters. Which law applies?
Because Delaware law on negligent entrustment is clear in terms of what the elements are.
And Virginia law isn't, or it is?
It's clear. It's different in terms of how they establish proximate cause under negligent entrustment.
Well, are you saying that the law is less favorable to your side under Virginia, in Virginia, than it would be if Delaware law?
Yes.
All right. And precisely how?
In
You're more
Delaware,
likely to lose on approximate cause analysis in Virginia than here?
Well, I think that the court below went through various Virginia case law on that issue.
You're more likely to lose under Virginia law than under Delaware law on proximate cause?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Well, going back to Justice Jacobs' question about this fine distinction you're trying to make, see if you can state it for us crisply. Because, as you know, in the answering brief, your opponent points out all of the references you make to Virginia law applying, and even goes so far as to say you waived your claim that Delaware law applies because you've put so much emphasis on Virginia law. And I guess my question is, acknowledging that this car was rented in Virginia and a lot of what should be applied is controlled by Virginia law, where do we move to Delaware law? What is it in Virginia that you accept applied to the car agency, and when do we move to Delaware law?
Yes, Your Honor. In Virginia, what's important to look at is what was available to the rental car company, what was available to them to know that the license was suspended and what her record was. In terms of what law applies within that construct in determining what the tort of negligent entrustment is, Delaware law applies. And I think that's made clear by the Berger versus Millstone case that we've cited, which is a Delaware Superior Court case. In that case, there was a motor vehicle accident in Delaware. The vehicle was leased from Colorado and the residents were from Virginia. The court looked to Virginia to determine what standard there was for renting the vehicles, which is what I'm advocating.
Standard under what body of law, tort or contract?
Contract. And in Virginia, the standard was to inquire whether additional drivers were required, because in that case, the issue was whether or not there was permission given to a non-renter.
Your cause of action arises in tort, correct?
Correct.
And your argument, if I understand it, is that to the extent we're talking about a tort claim, Delaware law governs because the accident took place in Delaware.
That's precisely right.
Okay. I guess your problem is that you then have got to tell us why the rule that the state that has the most significant contacts wouldn't be Virginia.
Your Honor, I think that's answered by the decision in E.B. versus Thompson. In that case, the defendant rented equipment in Maryland for use in Delaware, and there was an accident in Delaware involving the equipment. And the court found that at that time, strict liability would be applicable, and found that the injured person was the plaintiff, who was a Delaware resident, exactly what this case is, that the Delaware resident had absolutely no privity or connection to the rental car company, so that the emphasis was that the injuries occurred in Delaware, that it was a Delaware resident, and that the rental company had put the equipment in the chain of commerce and that it was going to be used in Delaware. Here it's no different. The rental car company knew that Ms. Childs was going to take the vehicle out of Virginia, go to Philadelphia, travel through Delaware.
So, tell us, what is the tort that the rental car company committed in Delaware?
The tort, Your Honor, is the tort of negligent entrustment.
Didn't that start in Virginia? I mean, the negligent entrustment is when you let the person walk out of the Virginia office with the car. How does the negligent entrustment become a tort in Delaware?
Because of the choice of law issues, as outlined in Berger versus Millstone, the tort of negligent entrust, because that's where the plaintiffs were injured, was in Delaware. That's where the law governing the tort of negligent entrustment would apply.
Let's talk about, then, the difference between the Virginia negligent entrustment law and the Delaware rule. Do I correctly understand that your client would be disfavored under Virginia law, because under Virginia law, negligent entrustment basically covers those cases where the rental agency rents to somebody who's visibly intoxicated or under the influence of drugs? That is, there's some visible disability. Correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And that's not this case?
That's correct.
How does the Delaware law differ, if at all?
Yes, Your Honor. Delaware law, one difference is that, as Justice Hurley, Judge Hurley recognized in Carter versus Haley, that providing a vehicle to a suspended licensed driver indicates that the driver's incompetent. The fact that it's suspended, the driver's incompetent, and that's on page 5 of that decision.
Well, isn't one of the elements that the owner knows or has reason to know that the driver is reckless or incompetent?
Yes, Your Honor.
And is there a duty under Delaware law to call the DMV and find out if someone has a license or not?
There is not under Delaware law, Your Honor. There's no statute in Delaware on that issue. It's one of first impression. There is no case on that either.
So let's focus on the difference. Virginia doesn't require you to check. Delaware doesn't require you to check. So we have a car rental agency in either Delaware or Virginia that appears under the law to be able to rely on a license that's valid on its face. How do we get a different result in Delaware than Virginia?
As Judge Hurley indicated in the Carter decision, just because you comply with the statute doesn't mean that you're not negligent under common law negligence.
Well, aren't you arguing? You're saying this is an issue of first impression in Delaware.
Correct.
You're arguing that the law ought to be whatever it is you're contending. That is, that there we ought to be creating as a matter of first impression common law, that there is a duty on the part of the rental agencies to check with DMV or request the driving record of whoever it is that wants to rent, correct?
In part, Your Honor.
Is that right? I mean, doesn't that have to be your position?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Now, if that's correct, this court certainly would have authority to fashion such a rule for rental agencies that are renting in Delaware. But where do we get the authority to create such a rule for a car rental agency that's renting in Virginia?
Just as the court did in Eby, Your Honor, the court went through the various factors in determining what effect it would have on rental car on rental companies in that case, and found that the renter was in a better position to bear the risk than it would be the innocent, injured Delaware citizen. And the issue is whether or not it was foreseeable that the rented equipment, or in this case a car, would be in Delaware and with the possibility of injuring a Delaware citizen.
Help me, you know, what you're saying reminds me of when I was in law school taking federal constitutional law, and we were studying those cases involving mud flaps, and you're driving a truck and everybody had different rules on your mud flaps, and eventually the court said that affected interstate commerce. If we're going to have your rule for rental companies, and some require a check to see if the license is valid, some require a check of your motor vehicle history, and other states require other things, then every car rental company in the country is going to have to do a survey of the 50 states and do them all if they're going to rent cars. Isn't that the logical extension of your argument?
It is, Your Honor. But as the court indicated in Eby, sorry to go back to the case, but in terms of the risk and the injuries and what's involved, the court found that it was much more important to protect the interest of an innocent injured Delaware citizen than a rental company.
Okay, well, if that is the law, or if we were to adopt that as the law, then wouldn't it follow, let's change the facts slightly, so that, we have same facts except the rental takes place in Delaware and the accident takes place in Virginia. If we can tell the Virginia car rental agencies what they should be doing, what their practices ought to be, then presumably a Virginia court can tell Delaware rental agencies what they should be doing as well.
That's correct, Your Honor. And if a rental car company doesn't want to do business in Delaware, then they can prohibit their renters from taking vehicles into Delaware and put that in their contract. But that's not what happened here. And importantly, the electronic system in Virginia costs $7 per request to find out whether or not somebody's license is suspended. Certainly, that's not a maximum cost, given the fact that Mr. Henderson was severely injured and Mrs. Henderson is dead as a result. So in trying to figure out the balance in terms of what Delaware law provides and who is protected versus who is not, certainly the law weighs more in terms of protecting the Hendersons.
So if we were to rule in your favor, we would have to decide, number one, that Delaware law applies insofar as the claim is negligent entrustment, not Virginia, is a choice of law matter. And secondly, that as a matter of first impression Delaware law, we should be ruling that the agency has an affirmative duty to check with DMV or whatever the equivalent agency is in the renting state.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And we would be the first court in the country to do that. Is that right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, we are the first state. And would you like to save your time?
I would. Thank you.
May it please the court, Justice Jacobs, Justice Holland, Justice Ridgely, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Christian Heasters. I represent Defendant Appellee Your Car Express Rentals. This is a sad case indeed, and if sympathy was an essential element of plaintiff's claim, he would be able to prove it. Sympathy, of course, is not an essential element of plaintiff's claim here. And the problem is that plaintiff has not and cannot provide prima facie evidence in support of the essential elements of his claim.
Well, do you agree with the issues as they developed during Mr. Hedrick's presentation, that is choice of law and, assuming Delaware law applies, what should be the Delaware law of negligent entrustment in circumstances like this? Are those the two issues before us?
I think there's the issues are choice of law, yes, but additionally, whether plaintiff has provided any satisfied his burden.
Well, don't we need to know what the law should be before we get to whether the plaintiff has provided any prima facie evidence?
Sure, and I think Virginia law applies here, but at the same time, I don't think it matters whether Virginia law or Delaware law applies because I don't think that plaintiff can prove a negligent entrustment claim under either state's law.
Okay, and why is that?
Because both the law of both states has the essential element that the entrustor knew or should have known that the entrustee was reckless or incompetent to operate a motor vehicle. And here we have neither. Your car, well, first of all, the driver was not reckless or incompetent to operate a motor vehicle as a matter of law. And even assuming that somehow she was, your car did not know that and had no duty to perform this DMV check that appellant argues they should have done without citing any legal authority whatsoever in support of that
theory. Well, if Virginia law applies, I think Mr. Hedrick agrees with you that there would be the claim would fail, whether as a matter of proximate cause or as a matter of duty or the existence of a duty. His argument is, however, that because this is a Delaware accident involving, was it a Delaware citizen?
The plaintiff was a Delaware citizen.
Right. That Delaware law governs the negligent entrustment claim, and that this court should decide as a matter of first impression that the Virginia car rental agency had an affirmative duty to check the driving record of the prospective renter.
That specific issue would be a matter of first impression in Delaware, but Delaware courts have addressed the more general issue as to whether or not a negligent entrustment claim can survive where the entrustee's license was suspended.
Help me understand where we are in this appeal and what the court can do in this appeal. As I understand the Superior Court opinion, the Superior Court started on choice of law and said, Virginia law applies. And then it applied Virginia law and held that the car rental agency won on the merits. But I don't read anywhere in the Superior Court opinion where they said anything to the effect Delaware law would come out the same way. And so the reason I mention that is because if I'm correct, then if we decide Delaware law should apply, this has to be remanded to the Superior Court for an application of Delaware law, doesn't it?
Correct. The court below did not address the what would be the outcome if it applied Delaware law because it decided that Virginia law applies.
All right, so let's talk about the two issues that we have to decide. First is choice of law. Tell us why Virginia was correctly chosen. Second, tell us why Virginia law was correctly applied.
Virginia law was correctly chosen because there's no question that Delaware applies the most significant relationship test in deciding choice of law issues. And in this case, plaintiff's counsel keeps mentioning Eby. In Eby...
Well, before you get to that, just to frame, just to embellish, if I might, on Justice Holland's question, it would be one thing if, the lawsuit is between the representative of the decedent, the passenger that was killed, and her spouse, who are Delaware citizens, and the driver of the car that collided with the plaintiff's car. You would have, it may well be that Delaware would have the most significant context. But what we have here is a claim against a Virginia rental agency whose only connection to this accident is that they rented a car to the driver in Virginia. So, how does the analysis differ? How would you analyze both of those, either of those cases or both of them under the significant context?
As Your Honor stated, it might be different if we were talking about a claim between plaintiff and the driver of the vehicle, because that would be a negligence claim, and the allegedly negligent conduct, her driving, occurred here in Delaware. So sure, it might be different in that case, but that's not what we have here. In this case, the question is, was the conduct that took place in Virginia, the entrustment of the vehicle, was that negligent? And that's only one reason why Virginia law should apply.
Is there another?
Sure. The rental car company is a Virginia citizen. The contract, the rental agreement, is governed under Virginia law. The vehicle was registered and insured in Virginia. The only relationship that Delaware has with this case is the fact that the accident occurred in Delaware. And the rental car company had no idea that the car would be brought into Delaware. Sure, they knew it would go out of state, but they didn't know Delaware specifically. To the extent that
that's
even
relevant.
It
wouldn't matter if they did.
Right, I don't know that's even relevant.
So this could, if hypothetically Virginia had a law that restricted damages or capped damages, for example, this could be a case where Virginia law could apply on the issue of whether there was a negligent entrustment, but Delaware law would apply on the issue of damages. So you could have a complex hybrid application of the law.
Perhaps Delaware law could or should apply to issues like damages, admissibility of evidence, things like that. But when we talk about whether or not your car's conduct was negligent and whether or not your car had a duty to perform this DMV check, I think we need to be looking at Virginia law with respect to that issue, and that is the issue. That was the issue that was before the court below, and that's the issue that was decided by the order below that is on appeal.
If I understand your choice of law argument, and correct me if I misstated, the only relationship that the car rental agency has mm-hmm. to this accident is that it entered into a contract of car rental with the driver, the other driver. To the extent, if there were a claim based on contract law or contract principles, that would be a Virginia claim that is governed by Virginia law, correct?
Correct, given that the contract was...
But the claim here is a tort claim that arises out of the performance of the contract, or at least arguably. And your position is that that derivative tort claim should likewise be governed by Virginia law.
Well, I don't know that the tort claim arises out of the rental agreement. There's no allegation.
I said out of the performance of the rental agreement.
Right, and I don't think that there's any allegation that the rental agreement required your car to do anything beyond requiring a facially valid driver's license. I think the allegation is that the duty of your car, the alleged duty of your car, to go beyond that facially valid driver's license arises under Virginia law, tort law, common law, not the contract.
Before entering into the contract, there was a predicate tort law duty on the rental agency to do some kind of due diligence on the driver or the person that wanted to rent the car.
Mm. Right, and under Virginia law, the only duty in that respect is to not rent a vehicle to someone who is intoxicated or physically unable to operate a motor vehicle, and we don't have that here.
Well, let me see if I understand your answer to Justice Ridgely's question. And I understand your answer to be the driver's negligence occurred in Delaware. Delaware law applies to the driver's negligence. But to the extent there's an allegation of negligence against the car rental company, any negligence on the part of the car rental company would have occurred in Virginia, and Virginia law applies to that allegation of negligence.
Correct. Okay. And EB, what appears to be the only case offered in support of plaintiff's position that Delaware law applies, the court in that case stated that the central issue was unrelated to the rental. In this case, the central issue is the rental and whether that rental or entrustment was negligent. And that entrustment, that conduct that was allegedly negligent, took place in Virginia. So that completely distinguishes EB and its relevance to this case.
Or to put it another way, and again, this is not a statement, it's a question. Your argument is that even though, you know, if an accident takes place outside of Virginia, clearly the state where the accident took place has some interest in whether or not there should be a duty on the part of the rental agency to do a pre-rental due diligence. But the state that has the strongest interest in that would be Virginia, the state where this contracting would be taking place. Is that your position?
My position is that Virginia has the most significant relationship here. I don't...
That's another way to put it. It has the most significant relationship because it has the strongest interest or for some other reason.
It certainly has the strongest interest, correct. Virginia has the strongest interest as to whether or not a rental agreement governed by Virginia law and an entrustment that took place in Virginia was negligent, especially when talking about a Virginia car registered and insured under Virginia law. The rental company is a Virginia resident. The driver was a Virginia resident. Everything is Virginia except for the location of the accident. And this court has addressed in Lake.
Does the record reflect what your competitors are doing in Virginia? For instance, is everybody but your car checking the DMV to determine whether a license is suspended?
In that respect, plaintiff offered a newspaper article from 1995 that would suggest that most companies do not do these checks. And also, the multitude of case law cited in the answering brief where this specific question has been addressed in several other jurisdictions, that case law shows that most of these companies are not doing these checks. The discovery in those cases did demonstrate the various processes that and policies that these other rental car companies do have, and none of them have the policy that requires them to do a DMV check when presented with a facially valid license. And in fact, the person for your car that rented this vehicle to Ms. Childs was a former manager at Hertz, and he testified that Hertz did not have that policy.
Let's assume, contrary to your position, that Delaware law governs the negligent entrustment claim. We're told by Mr. Hedrick that the slate is clean. In terms of whether or not there's a duty, there would be a duty under Delaware law on the part of the rental agency to do a pre-contract check with their motor vehicle department. Why shouldn't we adopt a rule like that were we to proceed on the assumption that Delaware law applies?
Because it would fly in the face of the elements of negligent entrustment that are well settled in Delaware, specifically that the entrustor knew or should have known that the person had a suspended license.
Well, should have known, you know, maybe a hole big enough to drive a Mack truck through, depending on how one defines it. That is, under the should have known rubric, one can make the argument that that should have known imports or implies a duty to check with DMV or the counterpart agency in the renting state.
In addition to the case law that says you don't have to do this and that a suspended license does not in and of itself give rise to negligent entrustment, it's a job for the legislature. Every court that has addressed this issue, and there are many courts that have addressed this issue, have said that because the plaintiff makes the same argument every time, that this could have been prevented if there was a rule that required the company.
What's the leading Virginia case that supports your position there was no duty to check once you see a valid license? Has the Virginia court ever addressed that directly?
Not in the rental car context, in the rental car industry specifically, but Virginia courts have addressed whether or not it's negligent entrustment to lend a vehicle to someone with a suspended license.
They have announced that rule in the negligent entrustment context, but not in the subcontext of a car rental, a commercial car rental.
There was one federal case that did address the rental car context.
And what did that say?
That it's not negligent entrustment to rent a vehicle to a person with a suspended license.
If you know it's suspended?
No.
We're back to the duty to check.
Right. In that case,
my question to you is, let's assume Virginia law applies. Why shouldn't we predict that Virginia would require you to check? And I don't want to complicate my question, but I know that sometimes when people in Delaware are arrested for driving under the influence, they have to literally hand in their license. Or when you have certain convictions, your license is physically taken away from you. But the record in this case appears to be that your license can be suspended, and it's suspended, but it's not physically surrendered. And if that's commonly known, that people with suspended licenses don't have to physically surrender their license, why shouldn't there be a duty to go beyond looking at the license? It seems that, you know, the companies would be taking an ostrich approach by saying, well, we know you can still have a license if it's suspended, but we don't need to check because all we need to see is the license. So the bottom line question is, why shouldn't you have to check if you know people can show you a license even when it's suspended?
Well, if this court were to make such a decision, it would be contrary to Virginia precedent on the issue. Additionally,
tell me those cases.
Martin v. Lidstrom was the case that addressed the
Sorry,
issue.
Would you repeat that?
Martin v. Lidstrom, I believe, was the name of the case that addressed the issue in the context of the rental car industry specifically.
Okay.
But I can confirm that as I'm waiting. But also, to get to Your Honor's question, it's a job for the legislature, and the cases that have addressed this issue address that specific question. People that have suspended licenses and the fact that they hold on or can hold on to their license, and the courts that have addressed that issue stated that the legislature is in the best position and has the best resources in order to determine whether or not to impose such a duty on rental car companies.
Well, the legislature may be in the best position and it may have more resources, but the issue isn't the issue of whether the such a rule should be legislative and not judicial, an issue of separation of powers or constitutional law.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Well, it sounds to me like you're making an economic balancing argument rather than a straightforward argument about which branch of government has the power.
Well, I think that's why the separation of powers exists, and that's because the legislature is in a better position and does have the resources to determine the economic impact of instituting a rule such as this. That would require all of these rental car companies throughout the country to essentially to comply with this rule, and to it would have expenses, it would have consequences.
Okay, well, what I hear you saying, if I get it correctly, is that it may well be that this court has the power to adopt a common law rule of establishing this duty to check. But it would not be prudent because the rule, will be based on a broader body of factual knowledge if it's accomplished in a legislative forum.
That's one reason, and to get to whether this court has the power to enunciate such a rule sort of goes beyond the order below and gets into the preemption doctrine and the Graves Amendment that would appear to be a federal enunciation that we are preempting this field of rental car company liability for negligent entrustment.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I may address first Justice Ridgely's question and Mr. Heister's, in which was there any evidence that other rental car companies were doing this in Virginia. The article that Mr. Heister's referenced is attached as Exhibit A-253. And in that article, contrary to what Mr. Heister suggested, it indicated that the rental car companies, as of 1995, were moving towards electronic monitoring of licenses and whether or not they were suspended. In fact, every rental car company that's mentioned in Virginia was using electronic means to access whether or not there was a suspended license. And our expert provided a report that within the industry standard, it was below the standards in the industry for your car not to check, and that each rental car company should have means to check. And she provided that report. In terms of whether or not Delaware law applies, there was nothing that Mr. Heister suggested or provided to the court that indicated the presumptive finding in EB that there's a presumption that when the injury occurs in Delaware, that's the law that applies. And significantly, as the court found in that case, the defendant ignored the central issue, which was that the plaintiffs the Delaware citizens didn't have any relationship to the rental agreement. And the rent, the lessor wasn't not important in Maryland. The issue was whether or not strict liability from Delaware was going to apply to a Maryland lessor. The issue was foreseeability, whether or not it was foreseeable to the lessor that Delaware law would apply. And certainly,
well, assuming that Delaware law would apply, why shouldn't this be left to the General Assembly?
There's no indication, Your Honor, that there was any presumption, either in Delaware or Virginia, that the state legislature indicated to presume the field of determining whether or not the rental car company had a duty. The one case that Mr. Heister's referred to, Martin versus Hertz, number one, it applied West Virginia law, not Virginia. And number two, the driver had a valid license. It was from England, but it was valid. So that case is not applicable here. As Mr. Heister's in this brief acknowledges, that the electronic means would provide immediate access, that's what we're requesting, that was their duty, and that's the protection that the Hendersons should have been afforded. If the court has no other questions.
Well, thank you both. The court will take the matter under advisement and will also take a recess.